This is Unhurried, and I'm your host, Doug Kyle. You know, life can feel like a race, rushing to the next thing, never time to reflect. But there is incredible value in slowing down with God to take in His perspective, His presence, His pace. Omniscience. That's a big theological word. How does that help us in everyday life? This is episode 43 of season one of Unhurried. I'm your host, Doug Kyle. Thanks so much for joining us. Unhurried is meant to be sort of like sitting down, having a cup of coffee together, talking about these deeper truths in the life of the believer. And they're connected to what we talk about on Sunday morning. So if you're following along with our Sunday morning messages, they'll make sense. But even if you didn't get a chance to hear the message on Sunday, they stand alone and hopefully will stimulate your thinking. We'll have a good dialogue here together as we think about this. I heard about one guy this week told me on Sunday that he listened this week on a walk. He was walking along and listened to the podcast, last week's episode. So whatever you're doing out there, maybe you're driving, maybe you're on a walk, maybe you're working around the house, whatever you're doing, cooking something, thanks for joining us. I'm glad you're able to follow along and listen. A shout out, as always, to Ryan, who produces the podcast and makes this available to you every week. And thank you especially to you listeners who I hear from along the way, and some of you I don't, but I know you're listening in various places, really around the globe. There's different spots around the world where people are listening. A lot of people in the San Diego County area, thanks for joining us. We're doing a mini-series right now on this podcast called Known, Being Known. It comes from Psalm 139. It is actually, it turns out, I didn't realize this, but as I was studying it, Psalm 139 is really the most developed place in the entire Bible where it talks about God's intimate knowledge of us. And today I want to show you why God's intimate knowledge of us really makes a difference. In fact, before we're done, I'll give you five reasons why this is way more important than you probably have spent time thinking about. When I began to paint the picture of God's intimate knowledge of us on Sunday, I really wanted to contrast that with how in our world we often feel very anonymous. We feel as if we're just a number, we're unknown, we can go about life, especially in our digital age, just feeling like we're really not understood or known. You get on, you know, one of those phone calls where you get in the voicemail maze or customer service maze, and it's like, please just let me talk to someone who can understand me and what I want to talk about. But it's so easy to feel like we're just another customer, a faceless customer, unknown in the world around us. I got a good taste of that recently. I was nearly arrested in Kentucky. What? What do you mean? Well, I was there this summer to help my son, daughter-in-law, and their family move to Kentucky to move in. They were moving internationally from Europe back to the States and didn't have driver's license. They had lost their driver's licenses while they were in Europe, or they had expired, so they needed to get new licenses. So we were there, and I was going to rent a car and be their chauffeur, so to speak, drive them around. One night, we were coming home late. My son and I, it was almost midnight. We're in downtown Lexington in Kentucky, and I say, you know, I think I'm getting pulled over. And sure enough, I got pulled over. The reason that we were pulled over is because the license plate had the registration had expired. And we said, that's weird because this is a rental car. I don't know why they gave me a car with an expired license plate, but they took my license and became very clear over time that really had nothing to do with the license plate. We were suspects of a van that looked very much like the one I had rented fleeing a crime scene. And so the officer was interrogating us about where we had been and what we had done. Had we picked up this strange package in a neighborhood nearby? You know, absolutely not. We had nothing to do with that. But he wasn't buying it. And for, you know, quite some time, he was interrogating us, clearly thinking we had just left a crime scene. Well, I was, you know, my son was going, I just moved here. Let me show you the website where I'm announced as a new faculty member at the University of Kentucky. I'm about ready to pull out my pastor, you know, card and say, you know, I'm a good guy. But eventually it became, you know, clear that we were not those suspects, and we were let go with orders to fix the registration, which I said, well, I'm just going to talk to the rental car company and let them do that. But, you know, it's like, don't you know who we are? We live in a world where it's like, you know, we feel like we are not known. If you just knew who we were, you'd let us go right away. But God knows us. He knows who we are intimately, completely, totally. That's what really what God's omniscience. Omniscience means all knowing. He knows everything about us, which is comforting, but also a little bit uneasy, unnerving, because it also means that he knows the dark side of us. Mark Twain once said that, yeah, every person's like the moon. There's a dark side that we never show to anyone. But God knows that too. He knows everything about it. It's both our attributes as well as, you know, our vulnerabilities, our strengths as well as our weaknesses. He knows everything. And this is really captured in Psalm 139, where it talks about, it begins God, with this prayer of David. It says, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me." The passage goes on to demonstrate that God knows our actions. He knows our words. He even knows our thoughts. Even before we ever think them ourselves, he knows them. He knows our thoughts if we never act upon them. He knows our thoughts even if we never speak them. He knows every aspect of who we are, to the very core, to our very heart, our motives, everything about us. And well, at first that seems a little bit, convicting or concerning that God knows us that well. In reality, where the psalm goes with this in verse 6 is that this is too wonderful, is the way that David describes it. What he means is this is a marvelous reality. This is astounding. It should wreck us and then restore us, that God knows us that well. Matter of fact, here's a quote from my message that I, you know, thought a lot about how I wanted to say this. So here I get to say it again in this podcast. I said, in a world where we can feel so anonymous and so unnoticed, even sometimes ignored, there's a God who counts every hair on your head. And, you know, that's the reality. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 10. He said that we are under the Father's care. And he described that, or he exemplified that, illustrated that with these words. He said, and even the very hairs on your head are all numbered. The idea that God's, you know, care of us is so precise, so detailed, so intricate, he even knows the very hairs we have on our head. So it's amazing. It's amazing. And I used a quote from C.S. Lewis in the message too, who said, hey, by the way, if you're keeping track, another mark for C.S. Lewis. I'm quoting him in the message. We're comparing how many times C.S. Lewis comes up and Larry Osborne. Another mark for C.S. Lewis. But Lewis said this. He said, to be loved by God, not merely pitied, but delighted in, as an artist delights in his work or a father in a son, it seems impossible. A weight or burden of glory which our thoughts can hardly sustain. But so it is. He said that in a book entitled The Weight of Glory. And what Lewis means is that when we come to realize how well God knows us, how intimately he knows us, how carefully he studies our lives, it really is as David says, too wonderful. It's just amazing. It's astounding that that's true. So here we get Psalm 139 that really, brings this home for us, the reality of God's favor and intimate care for our lives. Why does that matter? Well, I told you I'd give you five reasons why God's omniscience matters, the fact that he knows us this well. And here they are. These are the reasons. The first reason why God's omniscience matters is that it allows us to be honest in prayer. We don't have to put on a front. We don't have to try to impress him. We don't have to try to, come across as if we're more spiritual than we are. We can be truly honest. After all, God knows us fully. We might as well just be completely authentic and honest in our prayers. Secondly, it also relates to our prayers. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said that the Father knows what we need before we ask him. So it gives us peace. When we come to him, it's not only that God knows who we are and what we want, he actually knows what we need before we ask. The fact that he is all-knowing means that we're coming to a God who knows everything about us and everything about our needs and our circumstances. So it gives us this sense of release of anxiety. We don't have to convince God what we think is important. He already knows what's important and sees it perfectly. Thirdly, it builds our confidence in prayer. We can trust him more because he is fully able to help us because he is fully informed. He knows exactly what we are walking into. And so because he's fully informed, we can really trust him in prayer. A fourth thing, and I think this is really important, it motivates us to live our lives in general in a genuine, sincere, authentic way. There's no reason as we go about our lives to act as if we are different than we truly are. People in process that God is changing who struggle and have weaknesses as well as strengths, who have made some progress but are not there yet. We can live our lives that way as authentic believers because we're not trying to impress God, and therefore we don't need to impress anybody. We can really live the authentic, genuine life. There's a lot of pressure in religious circles, I feel, to act like we're better than we are, to come across, we've got it all together. And in reality, as believers, God's omniscience means that we live under his spotlight in a good way. As one of my mentors, Wally Norling, used to say, that we have nothing to prove and nothing to hide. We can live authentic, genuine lives. And the fifth reason why God's omniscience really matters, and this was the main thrust of my message on Sunday, it means that God's love for us can never change. If he has declared his love for us, there's nothing we can do to sabotage that. As if, oh, God didn't know that was going to happen. He didn't know I was going to do that. He didn't know I was capable of that. There's nothing we can do to forfeit God's great love for us. He knows us already, and he's declared his love for us with that in mind, with that reality. And so this is a wonderful truth to probably something we don't think a lot about. When I first hear about God's omniscience, I think, well, that's a cool little theological truth. But when we dive into Psalm 139, we realize just how grounding this is for us and how it gives us these, it changes the way we pray. It changes the way we live. It changes our confidence and our security in our relationship with God. It really is this incredible thing, this incredible truth. As David said, it's too wonderful when we stop to really think about it. Well, then Psalm 139 ends with this prayer, this amazing, life-changing prayer, if we really mean it. It's a prayer that over the next couple podcasts, we will come back to again and again. I promise you, it really is where this whole psalm is leading to us saying these words to God. It's simply this. It says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now, that's kind of a surprising prayer because everything I've said so far reveals that God already knows us so intimately. It's not like he needs the green light to search our hearts. It's not like he needs permission to see what's inside of us. And so it really becomes clear that as you work through this psalm, that this is not a prayer giving God's permission to look, spotlight our hearts and see what's in there. It really is asking God to reveal to us what he already sees, what he already knows, what he already understands about us, and to do it in a way that helps us grow, helps us heal, helps us move on from those destructive patterns in our life that are holding us back, that are hurting us and hurting other people. God, would you spotlight in us what you know we need to see right now? And then beyond that, would you lead me in the way everlasting? And I didn't really touch upon this in the message, but perhaps I can in the weeks to come, because it really is profound, that very final phrase of this prayer, lead me in the way everlasting. How my prayers could use that. My prayers are often so short-term, so immediate, so just what's right in front of me. And yet David teaches us here to pray, and God has inspired this for us to know now ever since, is that we need to pray that he'll lead us in the way everlasting. That is, in a way that really has a focus to what's going to matter 100 years from now, what's going to matter in heaven, what's going to matter forever. Not just what gets me through this day, through this week, through this month, but rather what matters in all eternity. Lead me in the way everlasting. How my prayers could use that. Two different aspects of that. If you think about 100 years from now, what about my life will endure? If the Lord doesn't come back, what will endure with the future generations, with my kids and grandkids and those who knew me and passed it on? What is enduring? But also 100 years from now, as I'm looking at things from heaven's vantage point, what matters in light of eternity? What matters about my character, about my walk with the Lord, about my spiritual impact, my investment in the kingdom? That's going to matter then. Lead me in that way. Help me not to be so immediately focused that I miss what matters forever. Well, it's a great thing to think about God's omniscience. I know it's kind of like one of those terms that you kind of think, well, that's, you know, for seminary students or something, but it really impacts and matters to the way we think about our lives today. So I want you to know that you could be truly yourself and honest with God, be genuine in this world, and be really secure that no matter what happens, God deeply loves you. I hope that helps. I hope that's a helpful way to think about it. Until next time, this has been Unhurried with me, your host, Doug Kyle, and I look forward to talking soon.